that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for this upcoming Christmas day. Lord, we pray. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll just do what you've always done, dear Heavenly Father. Fix hearts, fix minds, fix spirits, that people might be willing to listen for the joy. Feel the joy. Understand that the good news has come, that you have provided this world with a Savior, and his name is Jesus. Lord, prepare the hearts, the ears, the minds of the listeners, that someone today might hear this message and that they might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 23. And I'm going to start this off by telling you, pretty much when it comes down to Christmas, you have just a handful of scriptures you can use for your message. So y'all have heard a lot of Christmas messages, so you might not hear anything new today, but I'm hoping that you'll hear something that's going to reinforce what you've already heard and what you already know about the Word of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Our text will be coming from that, and will also be coming from, and we'll read the other one, Isaiah 7:14. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 in the King James Bible, and it reads, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Our reference scripture in the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant, is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it reads, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. And you already see where in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, you already see where it tells you Emmanuel means, it's interpreted, God with us. So today, in the way that my mind works, when I read this text, what I heard is when God is in the house. Okay. When God is in the house, that's what we're going to talk about today. When God is in the house. And the point of this text, this exposition is to let people see how differently we behave when we really believe that God is in the house. Because we believe one way when we think he's in the house, we act one way. When we think he's not in the house, we act another way. For example, it's a nice summer, sunny day. And you just got yourself a brand new car. Brand new black car. And it's fast. It's pretty. And you get out bright and early, which you don't often do. And the sun's coming up, and you kind of step back. And you know those new cars, they don't do like the old cars kind of, but those new cars, they kind of, and you watch this speedometer. You watch it just go from 60 to 70 to 80. And now I'm talking about somebody else. And then it goes up to about 85 miles an hour. And then you start saying to yourself, you know what? This thing is smooth, okay? And you all happy, you happy, you happy, happy, happy. And then you look in your rearview mirror. And you see a familiar sight. It doesn't even matter what city you're in. You know a police car when you see one. When you look in that mirror, you're like, even though they don't have the big bubblegum things up there anymore, you know there's something ominous about that car coming up on you. And instantly, you respond different. Instantly, this panic goes from your head to your heart, down to your accelerator foot, and moves it. And you don't want to put it on the brake. You're going 85 miles an hour, but you don't want to put it on the brake. But you know you're going way too fast for this image in the back. So you're like, does this thing ever slow down? Because you know, with every fiber of your heart, the speed limit is 65, and you can't even get back down there within the next 5 minutes. And you know that. So you respond differently. This text in Matthew, it says, this is about the Christmas story. It says, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Y'all? Understand, not God going to come, not God done been, but God with us. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Understand that when this text was written, there had been almost a 400-year period of what we call prophetic silence between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew. There had been no new utterances from God. And all through the Old Covenant, you see where God showed up here and the angel of the Lord showed up there. And there was always some kind of, God was always making his presence known on the scene with his people, the Jews, the Jewish, the Israelites, and his chosen folks. And he was always showing up on the scene. But now you have this 400-year period of prophetic silence. Not that things weren't going on, but there was no new word being written. And now, on Christmas Day, like Brother Fox said in his prayer, we don't know exactly what day was Christmas Day, so don't get hung up on that. That's a non-issue. We know there was a birthday for Jesus, because he says here, you shall call his name, and that's Emmanuel is a title. You shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. 400 years, y'all. And you know, when we pray, sometimes when we pray, help me, Lord. When we pray, and sometimes you feel like God's not listening, you're just not breaking through. 400 years. The first promise had come in Genesis 3:15, where he says, I'm going to send you the seed of a woman. So, Lord, where is this? When is this promise going to take place? Lord, when is the promise going to take place? He says in Isaiah, he says, going to be born of a virgin. Lord, when is it going to take place? Bam! This day, Christmas Day, born of a virgin, call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted. God not going to come, not God maybe, but God with us. God is in the house. So I'm going to briefly explore just a few things, just a few points here, and so we can all head out shortly. But I want you to keep that in your mind. It's not going to happen. See, that's the big problem with us in the Jewish community, which God has commanded us to reach. They believe the old covenant. They believe, I had an opportunity to witness to some folks, and I said, here's the difference between me and you. You believe this much of the Bible, I believe the whole Bible. They believe he's coming. But the Bible says he has come. Emmanuel. Isaiah said it. The prophet Isaiah said, it is going to be of a virgin. It's going to be of a young woman who has never been with a man. And she is going to have a supernatural child. No different, I won't say no different, I would say slightly different from in the old, under the old covenant, where they see where Abraham, 100 years old, having a child with his wife Sarah, who's 90 years old. And Abraham has said, we don't even think like that anymore. We sit up and watch TV at night. We ain't interested in that. And God said, but I'm going to give you, I'm going to make you a great nation. And he's saying, but I don't even have a son. Supernaturally, y'all. Don't forget, this is a supernatural book. That's why so many Christians miss so many things, because you want to try to, if I can't explain it, If I can't figure it out and work it out, then I have to question, I have to back away from it. You can't even figure out your own birth. You can't. But your mama and your daddy said, yeah, you belong to us. You take their word for it. How do we respond when we really believe that God is in the house? Let me give you a scenario here. When people don't even believe that God exists, turn your Bibles to Psalm 53. Psalm 53. I'm going to give you an illustration here of how people respond when they don't even believe that God exists, let alone that God is in the house. When people don't believe that God even exists, here's how they respond to the word of God. Verses 1 through 3. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Wait a minute now, Pastor, why are you calling me name? Why are you fool shaming me? I'm not fool. God's fool shaming you. This is God's word, understand. God said, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Oh, Pastor, what do you mean all these good people out here, they give to the poor, they feed the hungry. God said there's not man one of them good. And understand, as long as you call God a liar, you are not good. You hear me? You hear that? When the book say Emmanuel, God with us, and you say no, then you ain't good. I don't care if you give $1,000 a day to a church, any church, pick a church. He said, not I said, the word of God said, you ain't no good. Verse 2, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, any that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So before you start perpetrating and telling folks how good they are, people who don't believe the word of God, will you please read your Bible first and understand God has said they are no good. And when they tell you, well, I'm seeking, I'm thinking about going to church, I'm fitting to find me a church, will you please remind them what the scripture says? He says, not nan one of them, that's an emphasis added by pastor, not nan one of them seeketh after me. Not one. Don't that just mess up your theology? Doesn't that just mess up everything? Oh, yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor. I have some friends who are they're very, very devout. Whatever. Pick a name. They're very, very devout. Take it up with the Lord. See, because when people don't believe that God is in the house, God says this is what you have. You have someone who is corrupt, or modern-day vernacular, toe up from the flow up. And you have somebody who has no, absolutely no interest in the things of God. That's what he says right here, y'all. And when they're telling you, well, I've been researching and researching and researching and researching, tell them, open your Bible to Psalm 53. And you can stop your researching. And then once you find out what you really are and where you really are and how God looks at you, not how people look at you. You know, people look at, when you have somebody who can get up there and he can pontificate for the next 15 minutes about, oh, evolution and climate change and yada, 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 yada. And when it's all said and done, people look at him and they give one big collective, ooh. And all the while, God is sitting in the heavens, and he's laughing. He's laughing. He's laughing because y'all think that's wisdom. Y'all think
That's deep. Y'all think people like, who's that boy with the billions and billions? Of, what was it? Say Carl Sagan. I know the kids nowadays don't know. Y'all think Bill Nye's got some sense. God says, what's he say? They have, verse 3, every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. What a harsh thing to say about an intellectual giant of a person. God said it, y'all. Because God wants to make sure. See, and this is not even God being harsh. Y'all have heard the story. And I'll just reiterate just a little bit. You've heard the story about the man on the roof, and he says, Lord, send me some, you know, everything's flooded out, and he said, Lord, send me somebody to rescue me. And you've heard where the first guy came, that wasn't to his liking. The second guy came, that wasn't to his liking. The third guy came, that wasn't to his liking, and he drowned. You've heard that before. Well, you know, let's put some reality to it. Here's why God makes it real clear that everybody who has rejected his son is filthy. See, that's love, y'all. See, because if God held you out even a scintilla of hope outside of Jesus Christ, you'd rather do that than call on the name of the Lord. So God is making sure that everybody, that's love. Tell me what my options are, Lord. You don't have any. Now I can get on track, because I'm over here. I'm waiting for the next person to come rescue me. I'm waiting for the next great philosopher. I'm waiting for the next great revival, the next great religious movement. I'm waiting because I don't like any of those. Number one, I don't like those people over there. I don't like those people. That's a shame when I hear Christian folks saying they don't like Christian folk. Looking in the mirror and saying you don't like yourself. Problem with that. Understand, the church is made up of the world's undesirables, the offscouring of the world. We are. So when you come, instead of criticizing what you see, why don't you come along and say, you know what? You messed up just like me, huh? Come on. We can do this through Christ Jesus. We can do this. Yeah, but I want to be strong, and I want to stop sinning. And Paul says, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? He says, understand, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle, and we need to lean one upon another. It's like in the literal physical battle where Moses was, as long as Moses held his arms up, they were winning. But when Moses' arms got weary, two of the young men had to come and hold his arms up, because if they didn't, the battle went the other direction. We got to come alongside one another and hold one another's arms up, because this is a battle, y'all. Y'all understand me? You let one Christian person get out of line online. You have the audacity to go on the international internet and tell folks that there's only one way to God? You better get ready. That's the most intolerant, shameful thing you could possibly do. But according to Scripture, that's God's love. Because as long as I tell you there's some other way than Jesus Christ, you will remain lost in your sins. And the book, I believe it's Ezekiel, he says, if you see a brother or sister in the fault, he said, if you see him off track, then you need to say something to him. Church, we don't have to convince them. But he says you have to love them enough to tell them that something is wrong with their thinking. And the Bible says, if you don't do that, God says, I will require it of you. Because when they fail, and they're going to fail because there is no other option, there is no plan B, he says, so when they fail, I will require it of you. I will punish you for not caring enough. God said, I love them so much that I gave my only begotten son. I'm asking you to care enough that you just open your mouth and tell them about my grace. Tell them about my love. Tell them about my mercy. How hard is it to tell people about how good God do you? How hard is that? Come on, man. He woke you up this morning. He brought you out today. He cranked up your car. Oh, man, how hard is it? How hard is it? You get online and you tell folks, I found this great recipe. Ooh, I found this great restaurant. Ooh, I found this great deal on clothes. Ooh, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want them to think I'm intolerant, bigoted, narrow-minded. Kind of sounds like I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father but by me. Whoever wrote that was very narrow-minded. He was very bigoted. He was very intolerant. In fact, last time I read, it said he hated sin. He hated it so much that he offered to pay your penalty for your sins, for my sins. He's so intolerant. He hates sin so bad. He said, I'll take what you got to get rid of it. What? How hard is it for me to tell people about a man like that, y'all? How hard is it? Just open up your mouth and let God open up your heart and something will come out and tell them folks about it. That's when folks don't believe he exists. What about when folks believe that he exists, but they think, I can resist? Now, I believe he's there, but I'm going to fight him every step of the way. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. We already talked about the folks who believe he doesn't exist. The Bible said that's a fool. Now we come to the people in Psalm 2 who they acknowledge that God exists, but they say, I can resist him. I can fight him off. Let's see what they say. Psalm 2, verses 1 through 4, and it reads, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Now, look at here. They know he's real. They know he is the Lord. And now they're taking counsel to see what can we do to shut down his program. I hear it on the radio. I see it on TV. I meet people on the street. They're going to shut down God's program. They got a better program. Where that boy come up with Kwanzaa because he didn't like Christmas. Got a better program than Christmas. And I'm not going to preach on that. I'm going to leave that alone, y'all. But just look at the book. Read the book. He says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. That's another word for confusion, y'all. Another word for confusion. When you look around you today, this world is so filled with contradiction and confusion. It staggers your mind to think that people honestly believe that people, this many people on the planet, actually determine what the weather's going to be. That boggles my mind, y'all. Do those people determine when the sun's coming up? Do those people determine when the moon's coming out? Oh, but we can do this. Here's what you're dealing with, y'all. Understand, here's what you, beyond all the smoke and mirrors, here's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with another religion, and you're dealing with another God. You don't like for people to say that. Well, Pastor, you don't really understand. No, you don't understand. This is God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and he's in charge of it. Guess what? This world was doing just fine before we got here, and it will be doing fine after you're gone. Amen? But yet and still, there are those who would tell you because of their religious beliefs, this is what you need to do to save their God, Mother Earth. Some of them even have the nerve to say Gaia, Mother Earth. You be saying Mother Earth and you thinking, oh, that's no problem. You don't understand. When they say Mother Earth, they talk about their mama, Earth, the giver of their life. God's the giver of your life. And God determines the coming in and God determines the going out. Not Gaia. Not Gaia. Ooh, and he loved me so much that he told me that he's in charge. And he said after the flood, he said, I promise I'll never, ever, ever destroy the earth again like this. And he said, you know what else? As long as I have y'all here, there will always be seed time and there will always be harvest. Doesn't that fly in the face of that religious theology that you're destroying the earth, the heavens and the earth? Does that not fly in the face of God's word? If God says it's going to be here and somebody tells you it's not going to be here, does that not collide? Oh, church. When God is in the house and you believe that God is in the house, we think differently. We act differently. We don't believe certain things just because so many people stood up and said it's so. Oh, by the way. If they tell you the earth is going to burn itself up in the next 600 years, which one of them is going to be around to argue with you? Some of us are old enough to have remembered. I remember I used to get my can of deodorant, you know, with the aerosol. Shh. You know, you were in the locker room. Shh. And you walk. And I was told, I believe it was by... I know it's going to be before like 1990 something. I was told that because of all that deodorant and I'll shh up and all that and all the girls with their hairspray, shh, I was told that without a shadow of a doubt, that had put a hole in the ozone. Amen. Y'all remember the hole in the ozone? Hell, you have put a hole in the ozone. And because you didn't believe that God was in the house and God was in charge, you said, I got to get rid of this. I can't do this anymore. And guess what? The date of destruction quietly came and went. But so many Christians altered everything in them. And I'm not, I really don't miss it. I mean, I don't miss walking around in a cloud of right guard. I just don't miss it. But we altered everything because Dr. Professor so-and-so said, if you don't do this, then you're going to destroy Mother Earth. And I want y'all to understand, that was just a test. And once they found out that that worked so good, now you bring in some more stuff that you do. I couldn't even eat butter. I couldn't even eat butter because they said, butter is bad for you. Butter's going to kill you. And my daddy laughed at me. Boy, what's wrong with you, boy? But daddy, the doctor, the professor said, butter is bad. Well, I kept living for another 20 years. And I found out, read on your online now. Oh, we was wrong. Margarine is not good for you. After you done clotted every artery in my body. But when God is in the house, you think different. You don't respond the way that the heathens respond. God says, look at my word, and I'll tell you how to do what you need to do. We said, so we talked about when they don't believe that he's there. That's when they, when they, he says, the fool has said there is no God. And then we see over here in our second part in Psalm 2, where you see a person who actually believes that God is real and God exists, but they say, we can resist him. We can resist him. We can fight him. We're going to fight him. We're going to fight him. I ain't got to give in to the Lord. I'll find a way into heaven without him. I'll do so much good. I'll give so much money. I'll make so many people so happy. He can't possibly deny me heaven. But understand, the Bible says every knee and every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord. And I want for Good Shepherd Baptist Church to be on record is saying, Lord, we loved folks so much that we were ready and willing to take the hard looks, Lord. Lord, don't you understand when you start talking about Jesus, when you start talking about your son, do you know what people do to us? Yeah, the same thing they did to my son. Amen. Gonna hate you. Gonna persecute you, gonna spitefully use you. But what he says to all of us, be sure that when you're being persecuted, be sure that when you're being spitefully persecuted and spitefully used, that it's for righteousness, God's righteousness. Not because you have a cause celebrare that you want to put out there, but because you're standing for God's righteousness. Next category of folks, you have those who don't believe, you have those who believe but try to resist, and then you have a category of people, I call this category, you missed it when you kind of believe that God is real. It's when you kind of believe that God is real, but you missed it. What? Turn your Bibles, Genesis 28. Genesis 28, 16. And before I read that scripture, I want to tell you what took place here at Padan Aram. Jacob was out in a city called Luz, L-U-Z, Luz, Luz. And he had to camp out, y'all. Now, understand, Jacob knew about the God of Abraham and Isaac. He knew about him, but that was not his God. Jacob was still trying to do what Jacob does. Because understand, y'all, when you read the scripture and you understand about Jacob, the Old Testament, I love the Old Testament because it gives us the illustration of every personality type there is. How many of y'all, can you say amen on this? How many of y'all know that one joker, he feel that no matter what, I'm going to come out on top? You say, look here. Oh, you're trying to get down to the grocery store? Go down this street, make a right-hand turn. He look at you. I think I got a shortcut. No, man, all you got to do is go right down the street, make a right-hand turn. No. I got another way. He going to go down to the left, to the right, to the north, to the south, and then I'll be there. Because he wants to be able to say he did it his way. That's Jacob. That's that personality type of Jacob in the Bible. The Bible calls him the trickster. He's the trickster. And look, now, I'm not mad at him because guess what? Up to this point in his life, he always was able to get out. Don't you understand that when you find people like that, the reason they stay like that is because every time God allows them to make it out, they go, man, am I clever. Man, did I beat the system on that one. So that's Jacob. And so here Jacob is out in the fields and he makes a pillow. And he goes to sleep, and then while he's asleep, he dreams. He sees a ladder. You sing the song about Jacob's ladder. He sees a ladder from heaven to earth, and the Bible says he sees angels ascending and descending, and he sees God at the top, and then the Bible says that Jacob wakes up from this dream. In verse 16. God had made him some promises in verse 15.
about how he's going to make him a great nation and do things for him. But here's what happens in verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Here's the saddest words written in Scripture. And I knew it not. Now Jacob is going, you know what? Now I heard my daddy and my granddaddy talk about, and I'm pretty sure that the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. And then Jacob, in verse 20, Jacob says, "If now again, don't forget, Jacob's still trying to rely on Jacob. And Jacob vowed a vow, verse 20, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." See, he sort of kind of knew, but he still wanted to do it his way. I got people out here. I got people listening to me right now. You saw it. You was brought up in a Christian home. Yeah, mom and daddy. Well, you know, that was mama's religion. That was daddy's religion. You know, I got some scientific stuff I got to have proven to me. And you're saying, if God, you're saying just like Gideon. You say, if I put out this fleece, I want God to show me a sign. Well, I want you to know, God that showed you a sign. The sign was his son, his only begotten son, who came, he hung, he bled, he died. And he was in the grave for 3 days, and he paid for your sins and mine. And the Bible says, if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. See, and if you believe that God is in the house, you'll take that offer. You'll know it's an offer you can't refuse. Last point. I got some good news for you. I like all this. I think it's all good news. I think just to know that God is in the house, just that Emmanuel, on that day, way back 2,000 years ago, on that day, that God came to dwell in the flesh among mankind. It's Christmas, y'all. It's Christmas. We're celebrating Christmas. And we do celebrate Christmas because on that day, God gave us flesh and blood evidence that he is who he says he is. And he's able to do everything. He said that this child would be born of a virgin. Who ever heard of a child being born of the seed of a woman? He said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. The child was born in Bethlehem. He said he had it to be of the seed of Jesse, David. This was the culmination of the entire old covenant coming to pass on this day. First, you talk about those who don't believe that God is at all, and God says they're a fool. Then you talk about the ones who think that they believe that God is real. They know he's the Lord, but they think they can resist. And God says that they're imagining a vain thing. God says it's nonsense. And then you get the folks who say, I'm right on the brink, bro. I'm on the, but I need some more evidence, and I missed it. But even if you missed him, if you've missed him up to this point, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. I got good news for you. If you missed all that God has done up to this point, I got some good news for you. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And it reads, and the angel said unto them, speaking to the shepherds out in the field, the nobodies, y'all, the shepherds. He didn't come to the kings. Oh, wow, thank you, Lord. Not only did he not come to the kings had to come to him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. See, the kings, he went to the lowest people there was, the shepherds. A shepherd, in that day and time, do y'all understand that if somebody was on trial and they tried to call a shepherd to be a witness, his witness wouldn't even be accounted because he's a shepherd. What is it? It's nothing. But the angels came
to the shepherds. And he says in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy," mega joy, "which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And I'll add a little bit more in another scripture where he says he came full of grace, full of mercy. Y'all, God is in the house. Thank you. Church, if you believe it, respond in the proper way. If you believe it, live a life that's worthy of a Christian. Live a life that's going to glorify God on every aspect. But Pastor, how do I know if this part's going to help or that part's going to help? Ask yourself, if by doing this, whatever it is this going to bring glory to God? And the answer is no, or if the answer is questionable, don't do it. Amen. But right now we have some folks who have never made, they can't live a clean life for Christ because they've never acknowledged him as Lord. They've never acknowledged him as Savior. And God has said, until you make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, for all intents and purposes, you're no different than a fool because you have never acknowledged the truth of Jesus Christ. He's come. The good news is, yield your members to God. The Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And he says, based on that testimony, your testimony, you don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to be beaten. You don't have to be crucified. You don't have to go to the grave for 3 days. Jesus says, if you confess and believe, I will save you. At this time, if there's anybody here who has never made that profession of faith, I'm going to give you that opportunity while the music